Hello, gunners and gun enthusiasts, and welcome back to this week's edition of Guns Over Texas. Putting them together a couple of weeks in a row for the first time in a long time. Thanks for sticking with us and listening to the show. So, Gary, Jason, welcome back to Guns Over Texas. Mm-hmm. Good
Thank
to see you,
sir.
You fellas. Mm-hmm. But what's new with your lives this week, fellas? I know better than to ask Gun World, because, you know, I don't want Shannon Baker.
Yeah. I was going to say, because I was waiting for you to interrupt us.
Yeah, I don't want Shannon to have any more ammunition. So, you know, what's new in your life? I know what's new in Jason's life. He's become a dad again.
A grandfather.
Yeah. No, I haven't.
Yes, you have. Yes, you have.
Glorified.
Your kid wasn't even out of the house 10 minutes before you had a baby to replace him.
Yeah, well, my niece had a kid, and my son moved out one weekend, and by the next weekend, we're babysitting my niece's kid.
18-year-old out, 0-year-old in.
18-minute-old, man.
Yeah.
It's just You know, you could have got a dog. There's two wonderful little puppies out there that need a home.
Yeah.
You know, you've been real good about not having gray hair as you get older, Jason.
Yeah, he's about to fix that.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that the baby is going to take care of that. That blonde, that Irish red you got going there, you know, it's kiss it goodbye, man.
Let's just say that I was semi-consulted about this as, we might watch the baby one day a month to help out. Okay, I'm on board with that.
Three weeks later, the baby went home for the first time.
No, but it's a good 2 or 3 days a week at this point. So what I was sold on and what happened, it's almost like a government program. We're only going to charge you a little bit, and we're not going to be all up in your business, and the people vote for it, and then, we lied. So.
Well, congratulations on the new addition.
Yeah.
And your new nickname, Grampsberry.
Yeah.
Grampberry, I like it. Grampberry.
He does look a little too young to be called Grampsberry, though.
He does.
See his dad being called Grampsberry.
Unfortunately, since my daughter got married, and the marriage came with a couple of fine children, which are great. I do have grandkids, but there's been a discussion since
they're
they got
adopted.
Married a few months ago as to what they're going to call myself and my wife, and they're calling my wife
Step-grand?
No, they're calling my wife Miss Nico, which is nice and thing. I'm like, and they were calling me Mr. Jason pre-marriage, and now they're calling me Gramps and Grandpa and other such hurtful things, and I keep saying, no, call me Mr. Jason. They said, no, my daddy said I have to call you Grandpa. So I know where this is coming from, and I know who to blame, and retribution will be swift.
Uh-huh.
So, oh, that's awesome. That reminds me of time when I was a kid. I'll never forget it. I must have been like 7 or 8 years old. My brother was like, 10 or 11. And we're sitting at the dinner table and eating. And my brother looks at my dad. My dad had been working hard all day long and, was sweaty and still in his work clothes. And my brother looks at my dad and says, Dad, can I call you Pops? And my dad looks at my brother and says, Mac, can I call you Shithead? Needless to say, Pops did not stick.
But Shithead has stuck.
Oh, it has.
That stuck.
Take me as I'm needed.
Apparently, Jeff is needed.
All right.
So we're going to run the show without him. There's not a lot new for me. Nothing new in the... Well, actually, that's not true. It's not that there's nothing new in the gun world. But I had a friend of mine come to me with something interesting. And he's got a hearing loss that he's dealing with. And the reality is...
Age-related hearing loss or a gun-related?
It's partially age-related, but also gun-related. Because, like me, now he's 60 years old. So he's got a 20-year head start on me. But... he started shooting high power in high school, much like I did. Mm-hmm. And it turns out he's got some hearing loss on his left side. He's a right-handed shooter, right-eye dominant. So that left ear ends up being closer to the muzzle end of the rifle. And of course, you got shockwave running down the side of the rifle, all that good stuff. So he has some hearing loss on the left-hand side. And so his doc was telling him that, and this whole thing came about because he actually went to go get fitted with custom earplugs. Mm-hmm. And the doc said, if you want to minimize that hearing loss, you need to plug and muffs on an indoor range. Absolutely wouldn't say otherwise. And that you need to minimize your exposure to these high frequency and high pressure sound levels. So that meant things like rifles with muzzle brakes on them are kind of like not supposed to happen anymore. And certainly shooting within an enclosure or any of that kind of stuff. So it brought about a discussion of suppressors.
Mm-hmm.
because you'll find that, especially in some part, in the few parts of Europe where you can still own a rifle, a proper rifle, that suppressors are actually required in a lot of situations.
Like so, putting a muffler on your car?
It's literally just a muffler. That's in fact, that's the way they address it over there, as opposed to here. We call it silencers, and it got this bad connotation back in the 30s and all this other crap.
Yep.
So anyway, it got us talking, and so now he's looking at finding a solution. Now, he's got a 308, but he wants to go to an AR, and he's like, but I want a suppressed AR. And I was like, I think we might have a solution for you. Mm-hmm. So what we may end up doing is helping him build a little short 8-inch 300 blackout with a suppressor on the end of it to give him a total length of 16 inches. Because all he needs to do is shoot 200 yards. That's all he wants to do is go out to ASC mm-hmm. or any other range and shoot a 200 yards.
He can shoot 200 yards with a 5.56 for a lot less money.
He certainly can, but even a 5.56 is not going to be hearing safe with a suppressor on the end of it.
No, but with the muffs on, it's significantly better.
It is significantly better. So that's an option, too.
Yeah.
But he's just, he has the means and wants to play. A rich guy.
All right. Well,
he's not rich, but yeah.
If I'm spending someone else's money, I say they buy the best they can.
There you go. Which brought me to, we're going to build him a 300 blackout 8-inch barrel. I'm not sure which suppressor he's going to end up with, but it's something that we literally just started talking about it Tuesday. So we'll see how it turns out. It'll be kind of interesting to see how that works out with a little short barrel with him. But, it's interesting. It's something to think about for all of us. A lot of people go, well, why did you ever need a suppressor? Well, here we have a case of, if nothing else, to save your hearing.
And I've been shooting since I was probably 8 or 9 years old.
Yeah.
And I do have, I have hearing issues now. And my wife and my kid have both said, to the point of, I'm talking to you and you aren't looking, or you turn up the TV too loud. I mean, it's realistically is happening to me, and I'm not that old.
Right.
In spite of the grandpa moniker that I'm getting.
For those wondering,
I will turn 45 this month. So
you didn't have to tell us your age.
I'm not that old, though. I mean,
okay.
In the grand scheme
of things. I believe that you believe you're not that old.
I'm the oldest guy in the room, I know. But
don't feel bad. I turned 40 in February, so there.
Well, working at the range is even more so a problem than to just shooting, because I have to be out there even if I'm not shooting.
Yes.
I'm standing on the line listening to everybody else shoot.
Yep.
And I only started double earing probably about a year ago, maybe 2 years ago. I started going with the foam and the hard shells.
Yeah.
And I have to tell people, like the young kids, when you say, oh, you're going to blow your ears out with those, Apple earbuds and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You really are.
You really are.
Realistic thing is, I've been listening to loud music just as much as I've been listening to gunshots.
Well, you have a whole other issue on top of that. You spend a lot of time around flashbangs.
I mentioned that before. I haven't. It's been a while, but there was a time that I was around quite a few flashbangs, and they sucked.
You're describing it's like, yeah, I see it coming in, and I got my ear mugs on it. But I'm like, that thing creates pressure, and even
if you've
got any open, here's the thing that I can tell you from shooting a lot of rifles with muzzle brakes and shooting open class. One of the things that you discover, it's a really interesting phenomenon, is that if your mouth is open or your nose is open, that pressure wave comes up the nose and all that, and it pops your ears.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you've got all sorts of ways to lose your hearing or at least damage it.
Yeah.
And they're kind of surprising, and it's a cumulative effect.
Yeah. And as I was mentioning earlier, the SWAT has not flashbanged my house, but I have filmed and observed many a SWAT activity where I was filming from inside, and it's the old, okay, they're getting ready to bang the door, and they're going to bang it, they're going to enter, and I'm going to film the entry to we're going to go over stuff after the fact in a training environment.
Yep.
And sitting there, as I've told you, it's like, okay, I'm in the room, this is about the 10th time they banged the door this morning before lunch, and I know the bang is coming, and I know it's going to be there, and I'm wearing iPro, and I'm wearing muffs, and I know it's coming, and clickety-clickety-clickety, there it comes across the floor, close my eyes and listen, and kaboom!
Yeah.
And you know it's coming, and it still rings your bell pretty good.
Yep. Well, and that's kind of the whole point.
And I can't imagine sitting on the sofa watching TV and not knowing it's coming and having that thing going clickety-clickety across the floor and go off, because it would definitely reset my clock for a few seconds.
Yeah.
That would be
hurtful. But yeah, so like I said, it's going to be kind of interesting to see, how we end up dealing with this for my friend. But like I said, just for all of our shooters out there, if you have the means, you might want to consider a suppressor for your rifle. But even if you don't, you know, here's where we start talking about, you know, part of the reason we use muzzle brakes, obvious reason for use for muzzle brakes is to reduce recoil. Mm-hmm. But another way you can do that would be to go to a heavier rifle. Of course, that makes humping it across field, you know, a problem. Of course, you could go to the gym. That helps. But that's one thing that you can do. But also, you know, like you said earlier, double plug, even outdoors would be something to do. Don't shoot in enclosures. There's a lot of ranges that have an enclosure, not necessarily a complete enclosure, but they have a roof over your head, which is all great. Except that that's somewhere that sound bounces back and forth.
And if you're on a paved slab with a roof over your head, it's going to bounce all that sound around on
Absolutely.
You. And it really costs nothing to throw in. Here would be my advice. You have the electric ears that you can hear through.
Yep.
If you put foam inside of it, put on your electric ears, turn the electric ears up all the way, you could still hear conversation relatively well.
Right.
And that would be my advice. That's what I've been doing now for about the past year. I also got rid of the Peltor Slimline.
Yeah.
Hearing that I've been using, because Slimline makes it nice and comfortable and low profile,
right.
But it also is less foam around it. And absolutely. I finally broke down. I bought the thick, huge, goofy-looking Peltors.
So now you look like Mickey Mouse with
They're big
on.
Mickey Mouses, but
that's
I can tell a big difference,
right.
You know, even doubled up, that it really did make a significant difference.
Yeah.
Now, getting down on the rifle, I still have some issues, and I'll switch to my little tack ones when I'm shooting,
yep.
But I'm standing at the range, scoring targets, and doing stuff administratively a lot more than I'm shooting nowadays.
Now, something I did hear what out of this conversation was that even with plugs and muffs, at best, you're looking at a 55 decibel reduction. So there's nothing more than that. That's part of the reason that among the reputable manufacturers, you don't see anybody claiming 60, 70, 80 decibel reduction. It's simply not possible, partially because of the frequencies involved and the other.
We're talking about suppressor noise reduction,
suppressor
not
noise.
Earmuff.
Yeah. Well, no, this is earmuff reduction. But the suppressor reduction may be more. But even if they do, there's only so much when the actual report starts out at 180, 190 decibels.
You mean you can't change physics?
Physics.
An explosion
sucks.
Is still an explosion.
At the end of the day, it's still an explosion. And, you know, you think about it, some of that's even coming back up the rifle physically just through vibration.
Yeah.
So that's going to be transmitted no matter what. Mm-hmm. So those are all issues to think about. But now that Jeff is rejoining us.
I apologize. Yeah. I'm adopting dogs today. I'm adopting
dogs. Did they find a home?
Getting dogs out of my life today. Getting them out of my life and into good homes.
Good deal. Yes. So they have a home now?
I'm doing the anti-Jason. I'm actually getting rid of them instead of bringing more in.
So
how many dogs are at your house right now?
Five.
Okay, then don't tell me.
No. Hold on.
But do the pups have a home now?
The puppies that are in the lobby, they have a home on Tuesday.
Good deal.
Daisy, my foster dog at my house, dog number 5.
Uh-huh.
I think I just talked the people who came in to look at the puppies into Daisy. So I'm going to subtract the one at my
house.
Woo! And the two puppies here and find a good home.
Good deal. Well, that's cool. Because, you know,
I'm so happy you guys
I'll bet
no
you
idea.
Are. No, I get it. Because, I've been
so
trying to find a home for
those. There was
those
no life in the conversation while you were gone.
You know.
I was putting myself to sleep there as we talk about noise reduction.
Oh, man.
Society.
We were not doing it with the stupid.
It was coffee
what did y'all talk about?
We talked about earmuffs and hearing loss
and suppressors. Because a friend of mine, as when we're going to recover this, cap this again here in the show real quick, is just that a friend of mine discovered this week that he's got hearing loss. And as a result, we started looking for because he wants to spend money, we're going to build a new gun for him. And it's going to be a little 8-inch, 300 blackout with a suppressor. So, because that gives him a very quiet 200-yard gun. But it's just that it also brought about the fact that as shooters, protecting our hearing is a big deal. So that's what we've been covering for the last couple minutes. That's just, you know, that's what's new in my gun world. That's just it. It's protect your hearing, get plugs, wear muffs, do it indoors and outdoors.
Huh?
Don't do and don't do it, you know, don't shoot in an enclosure if you don't have to.
I think it's really stupid to shoot indoors with anything less than earmuffs.
Yep.
Ear goggles. Sorry.
Absolutely.
You
yep.
should definitely double up if you're going to shoot indoors.
Yep.
I did not double up. I wore what I thought were good cans for a number of years. Now I'm at probably 60% hearing loss, which, strangely enough, I'm okay with because it is a great excuse for me not to listen to things that assholes say. So,
in other words, it's marriage counseling.
No. No, I'm not calling her an asshole. I really, my soon-to-be wife, I got nothing to complain about with her. We get along so awesome. She's the best.
I love how you're digging out of that one.
No, no, I'm just talking about the run of the asshole.
You set it up for me. I'm sorry. I had
that
to do it,
you know, he's like, oh, the people that come in, oh, you're Jeff from the radio show, right? Yeah, sure. I'm nice to meet you. Oh, you go to face for radio.
Oh, good.
Oh, yeah, how dickhead. Many times never heard that before. Thanks.
We've been telling him that since day one. So.
Right?
Yeah. So is my family, everybody else. It's not new. If I meet you for the first time, it's
but
not
you do
new.
Have
you
the
don't
voice
have to
point.
Do that. Just
I'll give you
shake
that.
My hand. Yeah.
And move on.
Agree and the, radio. The energy and the will to know that he can't be fired from a business that he owns.
There's that.
He has the freedom to say whatever he wants.
Yes.
Dude, I'm going to retire here in 5 to 7 years, and I am going to be Jeff 2.0 because I'll finally be able to say everything I want to say and not have to put on my professional persona.
I say what I want to say because this is our business. We can do that, and we're free to teach people that you don't have to be a politically correct freaking drone.
I have a retirement coming, mister.
We had to.
You haven't dropped a BF yet.
I'm trying not to. I had an Indian guy a couple weeks ago, and he was doing the little form in, you know, Indian dot, not feather. And he was doing the little waiver form.
I love my job.
And I really. And so he did the test. And, you know, on the test on front, you know, there's one question that you're supposed to read and you're not supposed to initial it. And I very clearly stated that to him. And then he initialed all the way through. And I said, dude, I told you there's one you're not supposed to agree with. And he goes, yeah, I know. I said, well, you missed it. Indians are supposed to be good test takers.
Whoa. Okay.
What's the matter with that? I'm telling him he's smart. They're supposed to be smart. I said, you know, that's racist. I said, no, it's not racist. It's stereotyping and profiling.
I love my job. I love my job.
Neither of which is there anything wrong with.
Oh, I'm sorry. I left the room for a minute. Did I miss something?
It's like there's Asians are good at math. Why get mad at that? That's not racist to say that.
There, Shannon. I'm trying to keep my job. Is that happy for you now, too?
Gary probably can't swim. There's nothing wrong with that.
Jesus Christ. Oh, God. I can swim, thank you very much. I listen to rock music, and all my guns are legal, too.
Jeez. When I don't have a retirement, you better be paying my bills.
Right? You'll have a job, Jason.
All right. Did y'all talk about fire clean yet?
We have not gotten into fire clean
anything because you left and we knew you wanted to rant.
We wanted to give you the chance to drop some BFs on that, but if you want, I'll do
really
the lead-in on that.
I don't use fire clean.
I know, but I'll do the lead-in on it. So the whole thing is that
he uses Astroglide.
Yes. So the whole okay. So. The whole lead into this is that the web is abuzz for the last 24, 48 hours because of a story that got released. The first place I saw it was on the Verwappen blog, but now it's also on the Firearms blog. But the whole deal is the accusation that FireClean, which is a heavily marketed and very expensive lubricant.
And heavily endorsed.
Yeah, heavily endorsed by Larry Vickers and a whole lot of other folks as being Wonder Lube, as Jeff called it. But at the end of the day, apparently, it's basically Crisco is the allegation.
Canola oil.
Canola oil. Yeah. Sorry. Crisco, canola
Crisco
oil.
Crisco is canola oil. Yep.
Well, they sell two different brands of Crisco was one of the things that came out of the study that went into this. And so it was Andrew Twohy, who's the guy that runs his Verwappen blog, and he's the guy that did the initial post, and actually contacted an organic chemist to do what's called an IR spectrograph. Which, unfortunately, from a you know, trying to figure out what carbon chains are present in this stuff and what real oil it's based on doesn't really tell you anything. But it does tell you, like, you know, that it does have carbon in it and that, you know, it has certain smoke points, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And, strangely enough, FireClean comes up being very similar to canola oil.
When you lay the two spectral analysis on top of each other...
Identical.
It is. It's not close.
It is
identical.
It absolutely is. So,
but it's still not a gas chromatograph.
It's not a gas chromatograph. Right. So it doesn't, like I said, it doesn't tell us what actual hydrocarbon chains are there, and therefore doesn't tell us whether or not what exact oil it is. But here's the thing is that I think the guy's name is Ed Suggs, is the guy behind FireClean. At the whole time that he developed the lubricant, he has always said it was based on a food grade oil. And the question for me, I guess, at the end of the day is, does it really matter? Because here's the thing.
No, it does matter to me unless he's doing something super different and super special to it.
Right.
He is putting a 10,000% mathematically 10,000% markup.
Yeah.
What $15 per ounce is what it retails for. Sometimes it's $20 per ounce.
Right.
And you can buy it for $1.99 for like a quart of it or a liter of it over at Randall's.
And you know what? I could get a, what are those things called? A skewer stick. Uh-huh. And I could tie a rope to it. And on the end of that rope, I could tie a loop to it. And then I would have that butt fuckery device that that asshole was selling last week that we talked about for like $40.
I knew there was a BF with coming. Like
70 cents in
material. Wow.
Gary was asking for it. I had to.
I wasn't asking for it. I was just surprised you hadn't done it. But I mean, there it is.
Marking things up 10,000,000,000%. Yo, people are going to pay it. Go ahead.
That's the thing is them. That
there should be a markup for a fair amount of markup if you're inventive or whatever.
Stop being a communist. Fair markup. What the hell's wrong with you?
People are in business to make money. Jeff makes, he gets a fair markup on his guns. Most people do.
No, I don't. My markup on my guns sucks. It blows.
But if you sell somebody a gun, they come in and shoot
with the market at the range,
and that's where you make money.
But you charge what the market will bear.
Yes.
So if the market bears a 10,000% markup,
anybody who sells guns within 20 miles of Tomball Pond cannot survive on that markup.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Well, but your job, like as you said before, your job is to get people in here shooting their guns because that's where you make their money.
Right.
So you just pretty much give away the gun at break-even prices, but if they'll come in and shoot some range fees, then you make your money.
Sure.
So that's your business model,
and accessories
and
everything else. But yeah,
it pays the bills. I've seen your car. It pays the bills fine.
It's an 8-year-old FJ Cruiser.
Is it that old?
Yes.
Yeah.
Good God, you've had it for... all right. Well,
time has flown.
Buy it new. I've had it like 5 years of myself. Yeah.
Didn't even scrape the rainbow sticker off of it, did you?
Great, man. I got a 3-year-old Toyota. It's 8 now. Just rolled 100,000 miles. I'm rolling on that silver in my bed.
And I'm parked out in front of your car?
Rolls of quarters just laying on my bed.
What truck is parked out in front of there that I rolled up in?
About an 8-year-old Toyota?
No.
15-year-old Toyota with 206,000 miles on it. So I'm rolling in that big public service dough also. Thank you very much.
I'm just going to be quiet now.
Raptor.
Mr. Raptor.
Shut the hell up here.
Mustang GT on the weekend. Raptor by week.
Yeah. All right. Back to guns. Not our poverty. Or some of our poverty.
But like I said, I get the anger about the markup, but at the end of the day, if you bought into it, you bought into
you
it.
Bought
what I want to know is, does it work?
It does work from all reports, and I haven't got a problem with it working. And if he comes back and says, it's canola oil mixed with my super secret gun lube, whatever, but I somehow doubt that there's anything super secret in there that's going to justify the 10,000% markup. And I've always been a proponent of...
So the market will fall out from under him. And
I've been a proponent of the $9 a quart Mobil 1 for some time because I've had a quart that's been in my garage for 9-10 years now, and I'm not even a quarter way down the model.
Right.
I mean, it works. The only thing I'll say that some of the stuff does is it doesn't stain your clothing as much if you get stuff next to your clothing.
Right.
But
that's the consequence of it being a lighter oil.
And if you put a healthy dose on the bolt of the gun, of an AR especially, and it slings off its excess at first, it'll sometimes get that oil on the optic, which I'm not a fan of because then it's kind of hard to get the oil off the optic.
But that's a problem
with
any
oil. It's with any lube.
Yeah, that any oil will do that. If you have a problem with that, then you might go to a grease or even a very heavy oil, depending on whether or not the tolerances allow for it. That depends on the gun.
Now, on a side note, I read an article this weekend about the largest firearms range out in Las Vegas, and I can't remember the damn name of it off the top of my head now. Huge thing. The guy wrote a great blog. I'll try to link to it later on ours.
But it was on AR15.com about the ARs?
I went to it through a different link, but yeah. Because I'm not a big AR-15 fan. And just looking at the comments on AR15.com, it reminds me why I don't go there.
That. Yeah.
But anyway, the guy has a lot of guns that go through tens of thousands of rounds per day.
Right.
So this guy is going through hundreds of cases of ammo per day in renting machine guns that's all full auto fire. And he did bring up that an issue is a lot of people come in and they're very finely dressed because they're going out for nights on the town, a casino, and they're big money. And we hand them a gun and it slings oil all over their clothes. And I've just ruined a Versace, dress on the lady that's standing next to the guy who wanted to shoot it. That is an issue with these people.
Absolutely.
A big-time issue. Yeah. So he's been looking for stuff. I can't remember what lubes he was talking about, but he goes, with us, it's a significant issue of, you know, grease or something that'll stick to the gun better, or something that will last longer, because we can't be squirting oil in there all the time, or it slings oil on the nice people's suits that come out to shoot, and we can't have that.
Yeah.
So there are issues I would have never thought was an issue, because it's like, dude, if we're into serious gunplay, getting a spot of oil on your shirt shouldn't matter. But for some people, it does matter.
Yep. Yeah. Maybe you should just hand them a t-shirt and say, put this on over your Versace gown.
Or with what I imagine they're charging for a lot of full auto fire, you get the Las Vegas gun range t-shirt. Kidding. And here's my free advertising, because in the bulk he's probably talking, $8 a piece t-shirt. Shit, they're winning an $8 t-shirt with your shooting.
Here's this loaded Uzi magazine. It's $50, and it took 2.5 seconds to shoot.
Which is pretty much what they're doing out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, it's a great link. I'll throw it up there later on. But yeah, some people care about their lube. I don't really care that much, because oil is oil is oil as far as I'm concerned. All this different, all these, the great snake oil of you can eat it. It's frog lubey. It's whatever. It smells pepperminty. Dude, does it lube the gun? I don't give a shit.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Any word about what FireClean does in the cold?
Actually, I did see one comment where FireClean, like frog lube, in severely cold environments was causing guns to freeze up. Now, that's just an anecdotal comment.
The big thing about FireClean, though, their big selling point is when you rub this stuff all over the gun and then shoot suppressed or anything else dirty, that the stuff just wipes off. It doesn't stick. It looks almost perfectly clean, hence the name FireClean. And so their big deal is it keeps the gun from fouling, because the dirt just won't stick to it. And I've yet to put that to the test, but you know what? I got a bottle of a Wesson, or does it matter if it's Wesson or Crisco?
No.
Maybe Mazola? I mean, I don't know, but I plan on, now that I know that's what it is, there might be a bottle of Mazola going to the range with me next time I go.
Just and to we see,
might,
what happens.
See what happens, because I've got, well, you know, if I get 10 rifle shooters that are going to shoot some full auto that day, we'll lube that stuff up with some Mazola and see how it goes with some
full auto. Well, you know, the thing is, with any of these lubricants, temperature becomes a question.
Yeah.
And so the question is, what happens when it gets hot? At which point Do the carbon chains break down and it becomes just a carbon layer in the gun?
But canola being a cooking oil is good up to, you know, 500 plus degrees. I think it would run well on a gun. Olive oil and some of these others that smoke at 250 or 300 degrees, I don't think would work as well.
Yeah, I mean, hell, to that point, then you look at rapeseed oil and a number of other things that are out there. You know,
Jeff, how's the Astroglide or the KY handling on the weapons?
I was saying avocado oil. I've been cooking with that lately, and that stuff just does not cook off.
And doesn't smoke off?
Mm-mm.
And we both know from our Mazunga trip last time, where I tried to sear our steaks with a little bit of olive oil rubbed on them, that olive oil smokes
pretty good, a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot, to the point of gassing out poor Greg's house. I still feel bad.
Tried to sear it in the house?
When I go back next time, every time we go, I've got a little bit better food set up. Next time will be better. I'm not gonna gas out the man's house next time. All right, on to gun stuff, damn it.
All right, well, there's a CHL question, and Gary, I don't know if you're up to speed on this situation, but will recognized out-of-state concealed carry licenses also be eligible for open carry, or is it strictly Texas CHL?
My current understanding is that the Texas concealed handgun license will simply become a handgun license, and that with any reciprocity or reciprocal agreement, if someone is here carrying in the state of Texas, then they get to carry under Texas rules, much like if I'm in Louisiana, I have to carry under Louisiana rules. So
you're still allowed to carry, but their house, their rule.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that means that, you should be able to carry openly here in Texas. But the one thing we need to make sure people understand is that this law does not go into effect until January 1. Mm-hmm. So you cannot open carry right now.
That's right.
Because typically a lot of these things happen on September 1. A lot of stuff happens, but this one was not.
Well, and it's funny because the one of the big open carry advocacy groups, I think it was Open Carry Texas, but I could be wrong about that, so I'll verify it. But they actually had posted on their site, hey, September 1, you can carry openly. I was like, And when it got pointed out, they just deleted the comments.
Yeah, Charles Cotton had a post about that.
About it, yeah. So just be sure you're not allowed to open carry just yet in Texas.
Something else that you're not allowed to do if you're a felon is go to gun ranges. So I get phone calls all day long from people saying, do I have to have my ID to shoot? That's a dead giveaway as to being a felon. Because who doesn't carry an ID? Felons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Illegal aliens.
Them too.
Yeah.
They can't shoot either.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, felons are not allowed in a range. So if you want to take your good friend, and your good friend has got a felony, even if it was a bank fraud and it was 27 years ago, it does not matter.
Now, let's delve into the actual section of law here for those who want to look it up. It's 18 U.S.C. 922 Section G, and it discusses who is a prohibited person from possessing or dealing with a firearm. So we've got people who are convicted of a crime punishable by imprisonment exceeding 1 year. Now, we say felony across the board because usually that does mean it. There are people who have been in prison for misdemeanors that went over 1 year.
Right.
Okay. State jail felonies can sometimes be a year and a day, which is a weird thing to do, but I've seen that conviction. All right. Mm-hmm. If you are sentenced to anything that goes over 1 year, whether or not you serve that time, if you were sentenced to 1 year and you did 3 months in jail and they let you out early, it doesn't matter. You were sentenced to a year and a day. You are a felon at that point. Mm-hmm. All right. So anything that can be over a year, the conviction, whether you did the full amount of time or not, you are a felon. All right. So we got that one. We have anybody who's a fugitive from justice. Fugitive from justice would mean I got charged with a crime, but I'm not convicted yet.
Because they haven't found me.
Yeah, so those guys are no good also. I like your coy smile with that.
Don't get your target practice while you're on the run from the law. You're not allowed to do that.
Yes, all right. Anybody who is an unlawful user or is addicted to a controlled substance. That's a broad brush right there, which basically means if you smoked pot 2 weeks ago, technically you're prohibited from owning or possessing a firearm.
I thought they actually defined that because it was like it required a number of convictions. Maybe that's just Texas law.
Unlawful user. It doesn't say it has to be a conviction. Right. Federal law says unlawful user or addict.
Gotcha.
All right. So unlawful user or addict is either or. So if you got meth in your pocket or in your system and you have a firearm, hey, you're a prohibited person.
Oh, it's a little bit of meth.
I know. A person who has been adjudicated as a mental defect or who has been admitted to a mental institution.
So we've got this entire side of my family that's not allowed to own guns.
Yep.
Adjudicated. All right. That means a court. Now, we have these people that comes in where it says, like, oh, you're not guilty by reason of insanity. You have been adjudicated at that point a mental defect. Mm-hmm. All right. So, and admitted to a mental institution, whether it's voluntarily or involuntarily, there's some people who've done some time at the state hospital in Austin or in other places. Gainesville, is it Gainesville, Texas? I can't remember now. Anyway, if you've been admitted to a mental hospital, you become a prohibited person at that point. People who were dishonorably discharged from the armed forces.
Yep.
Not less than honorable, not standard. You can get an honorable.
But an outright dishonorable.
Outright dishonorable is a prohibited person at that point. All right. And then we have an alien who is unlawfully in the United States or has been admitted to the United States under a non-immigrant visa. All right. Now, that one I had to do a little looking up on. If you're illegally here as an illegal alien, obviously you can't. If you come over here on a non-immigrant visa, that's like a student visa, or you're over here as a business or a tourist, that is apparently a prohibited person and cannot own or do it.
Yeah, now, there's a hunting visa that you can get.
That's a specific visa for that, though. All right?
Absolutely.
And now you have the person who is a lawful permanent resident. That's someone who's a green card holder. Mm-hmm. Green card holders are exempt from that. Green card holders can live here. They've been told they can live here and stay here for X amount of years.
Buy guns, get CHL.
They can buy guns. They can go hunting. They can get their hunting license.
That's a permanent resident.
Permanent residents are good. People who are temporary visitors are not good. They are legally here, but as a legal temporary visitor, you cannot purchase or possess weapons. Mm-hmm. All right. And then we have a person who has renounced their U.S. citizenship. I would hope we don't run into a lot of those, but you just
never
know.
Why are you still here? Let's just get the hell out.
A person who is subject to a court order of protection for another person from stalking or domestic violence. Mm-hmm. So if you are a subject, and it says a person subject to a court order. So that means the court order is currently in effect. So if you got it last month and it isn't going to go away for 90 days or however long, then it is in effect. You cannot possess, purchase, do any of that stuff with your guns. You need to give them to somebody else.
And now, that means coming into a place like a gun range or a gun shop, because if you can get care, custody, or control of something.
Constructive possession applies at that point. So it's best to just avoid it. If you have something stupid going on, a divorce, there's accusations going on, you know what? Send the guns to your parents' house. Send the guns to your brother or whatever. Just get them out of the way to avoid that problem. Now, once the order is rescinded, you can go back to it. Now, where that doesn't happen is if you have been convicted of a misdemeanor crime of domestic violence. That is the one misdemeanor crime that apparently will haunt you forever under the Lautenberg Amendment.
Right.
From the 1990s. Yeah. Lautenberg Amendment is one of the amendments I don't like, not because I don't think that, people who are dipshit shouldn't own firearms, but it's ex post facto. So they passed Lautenberg sometime in the 90s and say, you know what? In 1968, you pushed your girlfriend. You have a conviction for it. You can't own a firearm. And you go, I haven't seen or heard or talked to her in 30 years. I'm currently married to a woman I've never laid a hand on, and I'm good. Well, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So I don't like that whole ex post facto thing. I still don't understand how it survived constitutional, hasn't gone to SCOTUS and been overturned. But once you get convicted of a crime of domestic violence, you're done. And you can't own. So those are the things besides being a felon. If you have any of those under your belt, don't come up here and ask to rent a gun from Jeff. Don't come up here and ask him to sell you one because it's just going to be a problem.
Well, you can't even come in and hang out while your right. friend shoots.
Yes.
Because technically that person could get care, custody, and control of a firearm just by asking to see one.
Now, I'm going to read to you so if it sounds like my voice changes a little bit. We are reading the actual definition, the federal definition of constructive possession. Constructive possession. Constructive possession exists when a person knowingly has the power and intention at a given time to exercise dominion and control over the object or over the area in which the object is located. All right? So if you have the, if you know the firearm is present in your residence vehicle, etc., and you know that you have the ability to access that, you basically have created constructive possession. Mm-hmm. And where they've gotten people on that is the old, well, I'm a convicted felon, but my wife isn't. My wife owns 25 guns.
Yeah, that was the joke that G. Gordon Liddy used to tell.
Liddy, yeah. And that's a lot of why that was put in there is, okay, G. Gordon Liddy, guess what? We're going to write this to where constructive possession can still apply.
Yep.
So if you're a felon whose wife owns a gun, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, mm-hmm. and you have access to it, it could still, not everything, the judge or the prosecutor would have to be able to prove that you had, you know, the abilities and the intent to get a hold of it.
Now, the state says mm-hmm. that a felon can, or that a wife or a husband can have a gun in the house with living with a felon spouse. But the Fed says no in federal law trumps state law.
And right? that's where you get into who arrested you and what are the circumstances. That's why this is not a legal advice show,
yeah.
and I can't tell you, but I can tell you it could jam you up somewhere down the line whether you know it or
because
not.
Because I don't think we gave any serious black or white. I think that was an entire gray area that you just read.
And unfortunately it is. Constructive possession is a gray area that, again, I'm not a lawyer. I don't argue this stuff, but there's been many a time of, you know, you're in there looking for dope and you find the gun. Oh, that's my wife's gun. It's registered to her. Oh, it wasn't in a locked container that only she had access to. It was sitting on the top shelf of the closet where your cowboy boots are right next to it.
Guess what? Going to jail.
Guess what? I'm going to tell the judge. It's your gun. And you got to, you know, y'all can hammer that out because I'm not the judge. I'm not the jury. Y'all hammer that out. But if I went in that same situation to say, yeah, we found 5 kilos of dope and we found a gun in a locked container that was locked in your wife's closet, and we checked all the keys on your key ring, and none of the keys went to that thing, but, you know, we pulled your wife's purse and found a key in your wife's purse that went to it, then it's a little bit harder for us to argue that you had the care, custody, and control on it. That's a movie I saw.
Uh-huh.
Back that up. That was all a movie I saw. All right.
I think I saw the same movie. So, okay, exactly
anyway. I saw that movie.
De Niro was in it or something.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
All right. Or something.
But anyway, don't come in here and try to be a felon with a gun.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
And don't steal somebody's gun and then that was bought here and then bring it in here and show it to Jeff.
Exactly. And I'm just telling
bigger
you.
Picture.
Let's bigger picture.
We won't. You come in and you have, like, crosses tattooed on your face, I'm just going to go ahead and bet that you're a felon. And you can't be in here either.
Those teardrops on my cheek are for my dead homie.
That's right. And
that you killed.
You come in and you reek of weed. You can't
another sign you shouldn't be here. Or gin, for
and
that
then
matter.
Don't even argue with me about it either. You know, I had a guy tell me, oh, I didn't smoke this morning. That's just how my car smelled. I said, I would be freaking terrified to roll around in your car if that's what it smelled like.
And I'm willing to bet that with your particular speed dial on your phone, you can get a cop here pretty quick.
Probably.
I'm just going out and
quicker than most.
More times than not, there's usually a cop in there when this is going on, and they don't realize it. So, which is always fun. Now, I'm not talking to you. I'm not.
I know, but I've smelled it in here before. We've had that talk and that wink and that.
Yeah, he needs to go away.
And the guy has left. So it's, yeah. So.
Oh, man. All right. Pierce, our buddy Pierce, friend of the show. Pierce wants to find out about weapon-mounted flashlights and which ones to get and which ones to avoid. And I can tell you the one that I am real excited about that I don't have my hands on yet because it hadn't become available to me.
And how are you excited?
Well, because I've seen pictures
of it. Is that the new little Surefire?
The Surefire XC1A.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, it'll fit on a slimline Glock, will it not?
Yes, it's really slim. It's really small. It's only, I think, 2.75 inches, the entire thing. It's 200 lumens of white light. It looks awesome. So
yeah, there's prototypes out with certain people who we did their first interview and won't call us back and that sort of thing. But
Coleon Noir.
Yeah, but yeah,
we launched you.
did.
Yeah.
We get them on the way up and on the way down. When no one else will have them, we'll come back.
Yeah, that may be what happens. We'll see. Well. But yeah, so that is a very interesting looking little product.
Yeah, less than 2 ounces, less than 2.5 inches long, and battery powered by AAA.
Wow, sounds a lot like Jason.
Sorry.
I was biting my tongue the whole time. I was talking about less than 2.5 inches. The only thing I could think of was Karen Clark is listening.
Here's the thing I like about that light. I like that it's AAA or AA or AAA?
AAA.
So we can always find batteries anywhere. Even if it goes dead, I can pop a remote control off the sofa and get a battery.
And it's a little battery that doesn't weigh a lot.
And it doesn't weigh a lot. And they're ubiquitous and they're everywhere. I have zero problem with that. One thing that I'm semi not thrilled with is we have so much invested in the past 10 years of the lithium CR123 battery style flashlights that the holsters and everything around them are everywhere and ubiquitous, and anybody who makes a new flashlight goes with that pattern of shape.
Well,
because they're for the most part
so
universal.
One of the issues that has come up about these larger flashlights is that when we set up holsters to allow for that flashlight to pass through, it creates an opening on the backside of the trigger. And we know of at least one incident where a police officer was sitting in a classroom or something like that, kid got his finger in there somehow, and it managed to strum off a round.
Yes.
So what might come out of this, at least for the concealed carrier and that market,
and appendix waistband and other things, inside the waistband, I see this as a great thing.
Exactly.
I don't see it as replacing the other ones, because I don't know what the battery life is on this, but they keep getting better and better with the battery life.
They're saying 1.5 hours, and the whole thing is that
200 lumens, then it can replace the lithium lights that we are all...
Exactly.
All have.
That's the thing, is that these lights are getting better. They're getting more and more efficient.
Yes.
And so with each successive generation, we're reaching a point that the lithium battery... I don't see the lithium battery going away, because the advantage of the lithium battery is its shelf life.
Yes.
Compared to an alkaline battery, a lithium battery can sit on a shelf for 10 years, and it works just fine.
And they tend to not leak as much.
Right. Exactly. Now, when they overheat, they get exciting. But
outside
of that, they have a lot of advantages. So, and there are lithium AAA batteries, if you're willing to pony up the money. So
now, I'm going to go with my go-to light for cost reasons is the Streamlight line.
Yeah.
The Streamlight, the TLR one or the TRL? TLR or TRL?
TLR one.
And two. Yeah.
And two, yeah. Now, as far as strobing and disco balling and all that other crap, it's a waste of money. You're going to get other people who are going to hate me online and go, well, the strobe is very disorienting. It's like, dude,
it really isn't.
You don't need it. It's snake oil. It's total bullshit.
You spend enough time underneath the disco ball, it doesn't affect you.
It disorients the guy you're shining it at. Okay, then it's reflecting off all the walls and reflective surfaces around you. Is it disorienting you? Well, no, it doesn't disorient me. Well, guess what? It ain't disorienting him either.
Right.
You know, that's just the way it is. Have you ever gone into a nightclub and had all the strobes going off and said, oh my God, I can't move. Drunk, I can still maneuver a dance floor with strobe lights. I don't
care.
I would
love to see you maneuvering a dance floor drunk with strobe lights.
You will watch me whip and nay-nay before the end of the day. If you're lucky.
Let's
or
not.
Do the Kwan or whatever.
Hit the Kwan is
Hit
the new
Kwan,
dance.
Hit the Kwan, yes. I am apparently out of touch with what the kids are doing.
Yeah, his kid pointed out to him last night. His kid goes, God, you're late. That's no
snarky
longer...
little bastard for somebody right? that's got $20,000 worth of school going on this year.
Yes, that's, I see what he learned at school too. That, that the whip and the nay-nay are going out.
So, yeah.
Anyway, the Streamlight versions that don't strobe, they can be had for $75 to $90. It's a solid light. It's a quality light. I got zero issues with them. The Surefire I think is a little better light, but is it $250 versus $90 better? No. I don't think it is. I will get arguments from Mahdi and other people who just cream their jeans over Surefire products. It's a great product. If you have the money, great. If someone's going to issue you one, let them issue you the Surefire, especially if the department's paying for it or something like that. But on your own dime, shining them side by side, do I see a 150% price difference?
No.
No, not at all. If one was $20 more than the other, yeah, I'd go with the Surefire. But 150% more? No, it ain't. I don't think it's worth it.
This thing's so much smaller than the TLR products, though.
It is. Yeah. So for inside the waistband, yeah. I think it's going to be
a great product. For a much smaller holster than what we currently have. For,
yeah, you know, yeah, that's the thing.
But it's going to have Surefire written on it, which means it ain't going to be cheap.
Yeah, Surefire's got it listed right now at $299.
Yeah.
And you know what? I don't like it that much. I'm sorry.
Legitimate price point's probably going to come in around $230.
Yeah. And when the next new sexy comes out in 2 to 3 years and these things drop to $100, I'll be all over one. it's still in the end of it when people are talking $100 plus. I still have to look at them and go, it's a flashlight. Okay? It's and my pocket Pelican one that's 250 lumens that I paid $34 for, you know what? I'll just pull my pocket $34, 250 lumen light out and it'll work just fine.
Yep.
All right. How about extended mag plates for Smith & Wesson M&Ps? We got Edward wanting to find out if they're reliable.
Depends on the brand and depends on what you're doing with them. I don't know that I would do it for duty use.
Pierce and Arredondo and who else?
Speed Shop Specialties has a pretty good variety.
And then there's also Taramba.
Taran Tactical?
Yeah.
Or, yeah. I don't know. Does Vickers make an extended one?
I don't know about for that one. 10-8 does.
10-8. I know they have the base pads that are different than stock. They got the little finger grooves for you to rip them out of there, but I don't think they're
extended. Here's the deal. To make them extended, first off, you have to make sure you get a different spring. Usually they'll come, an extended pad should come with an extended spring. If you buy a pad, and here's what gets people, because I have people come into my office all the time that bought extended plus twos for their Glocks or for their SIGs, and I'll ask them, well, where are the springs? Well, that's what came in the package.
Right.
Oh, so you went on and you Googled plus two Glock extended base pads and you found the one that was $5 and the other one was $12 and you went with the $5 one, not reading the fine print that the $12 one came with the extra power spring. Mm-hmm. You know, so if you're going to go with an extended and it's with a plus two, you could probably get away with a stock spring.
But
I wouldn't want to. Plus three or four up, you've got to get a different spring with a couple more coils on it.
Yeah.
Now, on most of my guns that I put the plus two on, I bought the Wolf 10% extra power spring. It's one extra coil, and it usually does the job just fine. When you're getting into those four and five plus bases on there, it should come with another spring. If it doesn't, you got an issue. But the Wolf 10% to 15% extended power ones are good. They're $7-8 a piece, and you have to have that extra bit of oomph to lift those rounds all the way up. Otherwise, right, it's going to be too weak to get it up there. Now, the other issue I have is, like you said, for duty carry, once you start extending something off the base of the gun, the longer that thing is that extends off the base of the gun, the more leverage it has, and the weak point is the seam. So if I have a plus one or two on there, basically if you have a flat base plate on there, there's no leverage. It's solid. You can hit it on the ground. It's pretty sturdy. Mm-hmm. When you add a plus two on there, there's a little bit of leverage, and you're moving it away from the seam.
Yeah, I've had a dozen rounds go like marbles across the floor at Walmart from a Glock 26 plus two mag hitting the ground. Yeah.
Now, and I've told people this at work, especially when we were issuing Glock 19s. I'm like, why did you take a 19 mag and add a plus two extender to it? Why didn't you just buy a 17 mag that's already 17 rounds? And there's no seam and there's no break point on there, and it works just fine.
Right.
Well, I thought I was.
You just put a collar on it, and therefore it doesn't over-insert.
So. Yes, and it doesn't over-insert anyway, but I would highly recommend a single-piece magazine body before I recommend the two-piece. Right. The longer it sticks out, the more problem. Now, in a game gun, it doesn't matter. Have fun. On a street gun, I've seen people, like you said, you've got your extender on there, and you get knocked on the ground, and you're on your back, and all of a sudden that long leverage piece that's on there with you rolling back and forth on the concrete goes snap. Because it's still attached, especially on a Glock, to a plastic magazine body, it will snap off. Now, on the M&P, it'll probably be a little bit more sturdier, but the longer you hang it off the end, if you're rolling with your full body weight on it, rolling back and forth, it is going to snap.
Well, we have a friend, Tommy, mutual friend Tommy, who's a law enforcement officer, and he put, I believe it was the Arredondos on his M&P, and they worked fantastic until he got about 1,000 rounds through the gun, and when that happened, they stopped working. Like, he started having a lot of failure to extract and that kind of thing.
New magazine spring for $8 from Wolf, and you should be right back in the game. Now, he was using the plus twos or the plus fives or the plus one.
I think maybe the plus five or something like that.
I've seen one guy that was running a longer extension on the M&P, but I've only, well, I take that back. It is on a duty rig he has, but I do not know if he was actually using those as duty magazines.
For the cost involved in a lot of these plus extensions, where it might be, especially the Aerodonos, $35-$40 for to add five rounds, I would say take that $35, buy another M&P mag, and just have three mags instead of two.
There you go.
I mean, it's more reliable. It's cheaper. You're not going to have the issues with the spring fatigue.
Did you ever see that article with that dipshit from Top Shot, the guy who quit? His name was Jake. He was an alleged Navy
SEAL that quit.
And he quit before the...
Because they were making fun of me.
Yeah. I saw an article with
Navy
SEAL
quit because they were making fun of him?
I saw an article with him. He was talking about his carry gun, and it was an LCP that he had like 18 or 20 round Pro Mags or something in. It was the stupidest thing I've ever read. He took a $250 gun and put $250 worth of shit and paint on it. And made it the stupidest gun on earth. So you check that out.
So you can polish a turd?
To that. He found a definite way to do it. So we'll see if we can post a link to that. It was one of the stupidest articles I've seen.
Isn't that the guy that came up with the what's that thing called? The CERT gun?
No, that was Mike Sieglander, I think.
Well, I just derailed back to the original.
Yeah, sorry.
Are you carrying any plus extensions on any of your carry gun?
No.
Do you carry them on your game gun?
Sure.
All right. What about you, Gary? You have any plus extenders on anything that you're carrying day to day?
Nothing I carry.
Glock 26. Okay, folks, here's the deal. The 26 comes with the short mag that your pinky finger hangs off the end of the grip. That short mag, the 10-round mag, is the benefit of the Glock 26. If you're looking for a carry gun and you think you want a 26 and you're going to put a plus two extension on it, one, you're going to make it weak like Jason was just talking about and like I've experienced in Walmart at 2 a.m. And two, when you add the plus two extension to a 10-round Glock 26 mag, the bottom of the mag, if you lay the gun on top of a Glock 19, it becomes the same size as a 19, 100%. Only you're carrying 13 rounds instead of 16 rounds.
100% true. Absolutely. Buy a Glock 19 mag and one of those grip sleeve thingies if you have to have it. And again,
carry that as the spare mag. The benefit to the 26 is the flush fit magazine.
And what are y'all seeing in my gun?
There you go. Not the flush fit mag.
Not a flush fit. Now, I do have a pinky extender on there. But the pinky extender doesn't stick out half as far as plus two.
The weak point really doesn't stick out at all because the bottom of your beaver, or the bottom of the grip there is actually extended.
Your beaver.
Which is exactly why I went this route instead of the plus two. The plus twos I had enough issues with that I've still got them on a couple of mags, and at qual or range I'll bring them out, but I do not carry the plus twos. My backup magazine right now that's on my body is a 17-round Glock 17 mag.
Well, fellas, normally I like to try to end the show with something eloquent or something like that. But
are we already at the end?
Well,
we should have like 10 more minutes, but we can run short.
Well, right. Fellas, I apologize, and listeners, I apologize. I've got a dog I got to get out of my house. I've been fostering this dog for far too long. It's time she found a family of her own.
A forever home.
Yeah,
a forever
you're
home.
A good, as much as I give you crap, and we do give you crap even more off air, you're a good person.
Sometimes. Don't tell people that, though. We don't want that to get out.
Okay, he's all right. But we can't really take him out in public.
He's a good friend. He did just say you couldn't swim. I'm just going to throw that out.
I said
probably.
Okay, probably. He did qualify.
He made assumptions.
He qualified his racist statement.
Yeah.
It's so, not racist.
Whatever.
Stereotyping is one thing. Profiling one thing.
At least he doesn't make decisions about whether or not I'm a good person based on those
that
assumptions.
That is true.
There you go. And I'm going to do him the favor and not make assumptions about whether or not he's a good person.
Based on those glasses, those Jared Subway molesting glasses he's sporting right now.
These are shooting glasses, sir.
And I'm actually going to ask you where you got them off air because I need to get a new pair. So
USstandardissue.com. Okay. If you know anybody that's in the military or police, they can go to USstandardissue.com and get Oakley stuff for dirt cheap.
Cool.
All you have to do is register. Veterans can do it. You don't have to be active duty. USstandardissue.com. And you can get Oakley boots that are normally $250 for like $80. Awesome website.
Cool.
Now, before we talk about what's happening in our world next week, I'm probably going to be out of state next week. If y'all two can find somebody that's good looking and handsome and well versed enough to come fill in,
find some ugly dude that carries a badge. Sure, that's
friend
easy
of
enough.
The show, Thomas, that you were discussing earlier,
might be a possibility.
Maybe
he's law enforcement now and experienced.
We'll find out. We may be here next week.
Maybe
we may
not. Should.
Oh, does that
do
mean
it.
You're not going to show either?
No,
let's
that means
I go to meeting thing.
We can try that.
Let's do one from Jason's hotel room.
Depending on what his bandwidth looks like,
that'll be creepier than the last time we did it with Gary legs sprawled out and spread eagle in his bed.
That was rather creepy. Creepy.
Creepy?
I messed that up.
Folks, we're going to knock it off.
That'll do it for Guns Over Texas today. Shoot straight.